Westside Baptist Church in Noonan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Welcome to the program. I trust it's going to be a blessing today. We are going to continue in end-time Bible prophecy. I have had so many people request that I address this particular subject simply because of the times in which we are living and the Bible emphasis on those times that predict that the Lord's coming is very, very soon. Now remember this, though. No man knows the day nor the hour, but we are encouraged because of the times and the seasons, and we're living in those right now. We're living in those times that precede just before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, the Middle East situation, etc. I won't address that today. I will at a later time. But right now, I want us to look at the sequence of events of the rapture. If you've got your pencil and piece of paper, jot these references down. I will not go into very much detail today, but you read them and you study them and pray over them and you glean from what God has given us in His Word. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4. Turn to verse number 13. I'm reading through verse number 17. Now listen. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Now that's Paul speaking. Concerning them which are asleep, those who are already there, those who have already gone on before us, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Now he's addressing the people that have never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Sad. But today, people are stopping up their ears, so to speak, to the gospel truth. They don't want to hear about this Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear about this Bible. They don't want to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ coming soon. They're so wrapped up in this world system and the entertainment and the pleasures of this world. But remember, those things are only for a season. But our soul is an eternal soul, and we are going to spend eternity. That means never ceasing. Somewhere, I trust you're going to be with me in heaven. Now, as we continue to look at these scriptures, he says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we shall, which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend, listen, from heaven with a shout. That's the shout that will resonate around the world. And with the voice of the archangel, Gabriel is going to blow his trumpet. And with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. In other words, if you have loved ones that are already in the grave, and you are still living, those who are in the grave who have died in faith, their bodies are going to be resurrected. And they are going to be raised alive again. Now listen to what else it says. They're going to rise first. And in verse number 17, then we, that's the saints of God, which are alive, still alive today, and remain, we're still here, shall be caught up together. Look at that. Remember that. We're going to be caught up together. You mean, Brother Melvin, that we're going to go home together? Absolutely so. That's what the Bible says. I believe it's like this. They're not coming back to earth per se, but it says because we're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to be raised up, changed instantaneously if we're still alive. And those saints of God that are coming back, their spirit bodies, we will join them. That's what it's referring to. And it says, meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. My dear friend, now people say, well, maybe we're going to stand before a judgment up there, and we're going to be judged, as to our deeds and our stewardship. That's whether it's going to be determined if we are going to be able to stay in heaven or not be able to stay in heaven. That's not a true doctrine. You see, once you come under the blood of Jesus Christ, you are sealed and secured until you get home. And when you get home, you will stand before a judgment seat. But here's the thing. You see, as a born-again believer, you will not sit or stand at the bema seat or the judgment seat of the lost. You will stand at the bema seat judgment of rewards. Totally different. Totally different. You're going to be rewarded for your stewardship, what you have done for the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. That's what that judgment is about. Separate altogether. As a believer, as a born-again believer, we are going to stand before the bema seat judgment of rewards to be rewarded. Therefore, my dear friend, it behooves us all to be faithful, to be studied, to be prayed up, and to be witnesses. Now, that does not mean you've got to go from door to door knocking on doors and inviting people or witnessing to people, but you should if you could. But in your workplace, you say, well, now, Brother Melvin, we're not allowed to do that in our workplace. But listen, there's another way that you can witness in your workplace, and there's nothing that your boss can do about it. And that is, you can live a Christian life before those people, so they will say, there's something different about that individual that I don't have, and I'd better look into it because I would like to have that same thing that that individual has. You see, your life, your living testimony is an example to those who you're around about every single day. Now look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 through 53. Paul goes on to say, now this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You see, at the rapture, the flesh and blood is instantly going to be changed for those who are alive. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. It says, we will not. It says, it cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit corruption. We are living in a corrupted body, my dear friend. It became corrupted in the garden when Eve partook of that forbidden fruit. And we are still in a corruptible body. If you don't believe it, then why do you go to the doctor? Why do you have to make trips to the hospital? Why do you have to take medication? Why does this body eventually play out? It is corrupted. And it says, behold, and take a good hard look. Now I'll show you a mystery. A mystery in the Old Testament is something that is concealed, but in the New Testament it's revealed. My dear friend, listen to what it says. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's the mystery. We shall not all sleep, that's the grave sleep, but we shall all be changed. When I was a young Christian, I played the piano for some singers, and they just had God on them. They'd get up and sing around the piano, and they'd sing that wonderful song years ago, Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down. My dear friend, as a born-again believer, the grave is not going to be able to hold you. Satan will not have a grip on you. Death will not have a permanent grip on you because you are under the blood of Jesus Christ. It says in a moment, this is going to happen instantaneously, just like that, in the twinkle of an eye. In the twinkle of an eye, it's so fast you can hardly see it. At the last trump, I don't have time to deal with those seven trumpets today. I will at a future time. But this is the last trump that's going to be blown. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible. That must be a one powerful trumpet. But it's not the blowing of the trumpet that's going to get us out. It's the power of Almighty God that's going to bring us out. And the only way that we're going to have that glorious, wonderful power to get us out is we must be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why he went to Calvary, shed his perfect blood, that it was a permanent sacrifice on the altar in heaven, that now we as believers put our trust and faith in what he's done. And because we put our faith and trust in what he's done, he births us into his family spiritually and then brings us into his physical family, spiritual family, if you please, later on in the rapture of the church. He says, we talk about the believers and those shall all be changed. It says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And then we read in Matthew, turn with Matthew to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse number 40 and 41. Now listen to this right now. Then shall two be in the field. Now this is addressing the rapture. The one shall be taken and the other left. This is symbolic. You see, if you're saved, regardless of where you are at that particular time, you're going to be raptured. But that unsaved person can be standing right beside you, and just because you go up does not mean he's going up. If he does not have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to his life, he's staying, he's lost. He's going into the tribulation period. There's a time during the tribulation period, and I won't deal with that today. Well, I will deal that with that issue at a later time. It's a time that you do not want to live through, but I will deal with that in two parts. The first 3.5 years and the last 3.5 years. Very, very interesting. Now, here's the sad thing. Billions, I mean billions, of people will be left behind on earth. Billions of people will be left behind. You see, they're going to be full of surprise, and there's going to be terror in their faces. And it's going to be because of the disappointment and the disappearance of their loved ones and friends. Can you imagine? A mother, a wife, cooking at the stove, the husband getting ready to eat the meal, and all of a sudden the wife is gone and he's left there sitting, seeing the clothes had fallen to the floor, bewildered and wondering, where did she go? It's going to be a terrible, terrible moment on planet Earth. But it's not just going to be in that home, but it's going to be in every household, in every nation on earth, instantaneously, just like that. Now, I want to tell you, my dear friend, when this happens, who knows what kind of explanation the Antichrist is going to give to explain away all this vanishing. I'm sure he's going to be very charismatic. He probably will say something like this, well, now listen, you who are still here, don't worry. The powers that be have removed those who are problems here on earth. Now we will have a perfect cleansed environment. That's the lie of Satan. But my dear friend, I want to tell you, we that are caught up in the rapture, we're going to be in the presence of the Lord, and the Bible says we shall ever be with him. Go with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 1, 2, and 3. Let not your heart be troubled. We are headed toward the rapture. A lot of people ask me, and they're concerned, well, when is it going to happen? What's going to happen? How's it going to be? It says, you believe in God. In other words, if you're saved, if you're believing in God, if you've got God in your heart and you are under the blood sacrifice at Calvary and you're on the roll list in heaven, you're saved. Let me tell you, my dear friend, it says here, not only believe, but believe also in me. You see, there are many gods on earth here today. Sad. There are many false religions. Sad. But Jesus is simply saying here, you believe in God, don't believe this. If you believe in there is a God, go one step further and realize, hey, I am the one. He says, in my Father's house, talking about heaven now, are many mansions. That's dwelling places. We don't understand. In the book of Revelation, there's a description, but I believe it just scratches the surface. Eyes not seen, ear has not heard, we've not beheld, but I'll tell you what, heaven is going. We used to sing the song, how beautiful heaven must be. But listen, if it were not so, he said, I would have told you so. And he goes on to say, I go to prepare a place for you. Christian, he's there preparing a place. Been there almost 2,000 years, a little over 2,000 years. My dear friend, can you imagine building something over a period of time? It must be a grand, grand, beautiful place. Says that if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. This is the promise Jesus has given to us. He is coming back. He's not going to leave us alone. He's coming back for the believers. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, and then Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 goes further to address, let no man deceive you by any means. I will go on record as saying there's much reception, much reception being taught today, false teaching about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some don't believe he's coming at all. Some believe at a certain time, not now. Some at other things that must happen. I'm going to deal with all that in future addresses, messages. And I encourage you to stay in touch and watch as we produce these and present them for you. It says, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, right here I want to stop and look at this very carefully. A falling away first. That is not the rapture of the church. The Bible clearly teaches that we will be caught up, that we will not fall away. I've never seen anybody fall up a tree. You've got to be in the tree and you fall down, my dear friend. That great falling away means returning or refusing to accept and walking away from known truth. We are living in that day, friend. This world does not want to hear about Jesus. This world wants to believe that there's no such thing as Jesus. This world does not believe in heaven. They believe that earth is the eternal place, and that when you're dead, you're just graveyard dead, gone, non-existent. Wrong. Wrong. Because it says, and that man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition. Satan is going to be revealed through the personal Antichrist. Now, during our present time, many Christian values and commandments are virtually ignored. The day in which we're living, no. Don't put the Ten Commandments on the courthouse walls. The very place that they should be there. Years ago, it was ruled unconstitutional. Remove them. Now they're saying, take the Bible out of the schoolhouse. Remove the Word of God. They're trying to shut down the voice of the evangelist, of the pastor, and the voice of the Christian. But listen, my dear friend, these things will be more prevalent after the church is gone. There will be no force hindering them. Many shall fall away from Christ. The Bible says that those, they had religion, but they didn't have salvation. After the falling away, the rapture of the church, the Antichrist is going to be revealed. I want to just address that very briefly as we begin to move to a closure in this study today. The Antichrist, according to times, predicted in the Bible, listen, is alive and well today on planet Earth. Now, there have been many people who've tried to predict who the Antichrist would be. Some thought it would be Mussolini. Some thought it would be Hitler. Some others in the past who've caused world disturbance. But my dear friend, let me say to you, I am fully convinced, according to the times in which we are living, that the Antichrist is alive today. Some have named different ones, but I assure you, the names that are so prevalent right now, I do not believe they are the Antichrist. But in later studies, I will begin to tell you some of the things that I believe will lead up to the revealing of the Antichrist. Be sure to stay in tune with this broadcast. The rapture is the fulfillment of this promise. Now listen to this. Scripture now. Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:4 says, but ye brethren are not in darkness, for that day shall not overtake you as a thief. We as believers know. It's in here. It's embedded in us. It's ingrained in our thinking. The born-again believers, as we look around this world scene, realize something is about to happen. This world has been turned upside down. Goes on to say in verse 9 through 10, for the Lord hath not appointed us to wrath. That's the believer. That means we're not going through the tribulation period, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. The rapture is going to take place first. Some say, no, it's going to be the middle. Some say, no, it's going to be at the end of the 7 years. Dear friend, the Bible truth is the church will not go through those 7 years of tribulation. Anyone teaching elsewise is not teaching the Bible as God intended it to be taught. And verse 10 says, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. That's those who are already dead and those who are alive are going to be combined, brought up together. We're going to be with him. Colossians, as he writes in chapter 3, verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. God's wrath is going to fall. When God removes the church, the wrath of God is going to fall on planet Earth. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 34 through 36, listen. And take heed to yourselves that at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unaware. We're living in that time. People are so blinded. I'm sorry to say even church members, I believe Christians, have been so blinded with this world and the things of this world and the entertainment of this world, saved. But I'll call them, and the phrase is backslid, not close to God. Oh, listen, it's going to be a sad day. But listen what it goes on to say. For as a snare shall come on them that dwell on the face of the whole earth, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of God. Then, as we begin to draw this message to a close, in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19 through 21, we are challenged, my dear friend. We're challenged today. Be ready. Escape the wrath that is coming. I will read Isaiah 19. Thy dead men shall live together with that my dead body shall they arise. Wake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew, as is the dew of herbs in the earth, shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter into thy chambers, that's talking about the rapture, and shut the doors about thee. Hide thyself as it were a little moment, 7 years, until the indignation be overpassed. Verse 21, listen, behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants on the earth for their iniquity. The earth shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her sins. Then go into the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. After the rapture, tribulation will follow on this earth. When the rapture goes, takes place. Tribulation, 7 years sets in. I will deal with that. It said divided into two parts. I will deal with that in a later study. But listen, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. That's talked about the church. I also will keep you from the hour of temptation. That's the rapture, removing us out of this place, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. That is the judgment of the ungodly and the lost. There will be an opportunity for salvation, but not through grace. Not through grace. It will be a different way. I will address that later. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And then we see in Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, the Lord will keep his people. That's the church now. The body of Christ out of the tribulation. Those that preach the church will go through some of it, or part of it, or all of it, are false teachers. Listen, behold, the decree bring forth. Before the day pass as the chaff, before thy fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord. Listen, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, brought his judgment on, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Finally enclosed in the rapture and the coming of Christ in the air can occur at any time. Always be ready. Always be ready. Closing scriptures, Matthew 24, verse 43 and verse 44. Now know this. That is an emphatic statement. A red flag going back and forth. Look, look. Look, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. That's talking about if everyone knew exactly when the Lord was coming back. Just before the imminent return, they would say, okay, now it's time to get our house set in order and get ready for the rapture. Friend, it does not happen that way. It does not happen. It says, therefore be ye ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. We are challenged. Now is the day of salvation. And let us walk in the light until the rapture comes. But then finally in closing, Matthew 25, verse 13. Watch therefore, Christian, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Oh, listen. The belief in the imminent raptured church encourages us to live righteously, as Christ may return, my dear friend, at any moment. My challenge to you today is to know that you are saved. But if you don't know this Lord Jesus Christ, all you need to do is when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, get on your knees in a quiet corner somewhere. You don't have to be in a church altar. You don't even have to be at church. You could be at your home someplace. In a quiet spot, just get on your knees and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. And he will do that, and you will be eternally grateful. Be sure to tune in to next time's study. Until then, Brother Melvin Payne, Pastor Emeritus of Westside Baptist Church, saying goodbye. God bless you. And goeth God.